Ladies and gentlemen, this is 10 Dozen Minutes of Jick and Mr. Skullhead. We're starting off there with Brandon Patton of MC Frontalot backup band fame and apparently brilliant pop artist fame as well now. Warning you to lower your bar. Lower your bar, please, because I have no idea where Jick is. None. Not clue one. I sent him a message, as I often do, asking if we were good to go for the show this evening, and I haven't heard back from him yet. Looks like he sent out announcements, unless those announcements were automated. So, and it seems like he at least was planning on being there this evening. But he's not online anywhere. Sans de moi. Nope, he has said nothing about where he might be. So, I'll do my best. We don't have any questions on the Twitter. We don't have anything to do. Let's play another Brandon Patton song, and we'll ponder the ifs, shall we? Let's.
Tanks dove overboard. South of Mozambique, Sedona Bay. Lights were reflecting eyes in the sea. Under an overhang, we saw three elusive
Alright, so bad news for everybody. Jake is still AFK. Or BOF, possibly. But good news for King Stupid, because there's no way you'll need to do a transcript of tonight's show. So, fellas, I will do the show to the best of my ability. I will answer every question that I can answer. If someone sends in some cool ideas for changes and stuff, I will put those on a list for Jick, because I believe that Jick still exists. I also believe that this hookah is delicious. I believe that Jick still exists, so we'll make sure and forward good ideas over to him. If you want, you can send in some questions to Radio Bugbear. You can also just send them at ASIM on the Twitter, if you'd like. You can do that too. But, yeah, I'll keep an eye on stuff. You might want to tailor your questions a little more to someone who knows as much about the game as you do. So, hi guys, I'm Mr. Skullhead. We're going to get into some questions. See what we got. Bracken Rouge says, Jick, have you belated me from Radio Bugbear? I've sent in like 6 questions in as many months and none of them got read. Yeah, sometimes you'll send in questions and they won't get read. Doesn't always mean that they're bad questions. They just don't fit what we want to talk about on the show. I applaud your restraint in only sending in 6 questions in 6 months. That is a sterling example that you've set for the rest of the community. Breckenridge also says, oh, and under Riff's monk-based insult system, would a situation where everything goes wrong be called a cloisterfuck? I believe it would. Thank you very much for that, Breckenridge. Excuse me. Landar says, you could call the LARP KOL live. They did that for the Cthulhu LARP to dissociate from Vampire and make it more appealing to live mystery crowds. Yeah, we could call it KO Live. Kingdom of Living. Or we could just call it KOL Live. I'm starting to get done with the trend to make new words out of everything by smashing 2 words together. And like, there's a billboard for a sandwich chain in town called Jimmy John's, and they're like, check out your new dunch. Sandwich is so big that it's like having dinner for lunch. I was like, dunch? Really? And I'm also really opposed to making new words by smashing 2 words together when they sound so much like the gross genital slang. Like, dude, that chick, she like totally shaves her dunch. Nah. Can't go with it. Fred Levi sent in a cool picture of like a screenshot of KOL for the iPhone. Go ahead and code that up, Levi, and we'll buy it from you. iClub you says, free Mr. Familiar Pools? Dude, why'd you make hardcore easier? No, we made Bad Moon easier. Hardcore is still totally hard. Also says, iClub you, the traveling retard was feeling guilty all weekend for pouring beer in Jick's shoes. Could you please tell him to stop feeling bad? Thanks for the awesome con. Now, in the signing certificates line, a gentleman knocked over a cup of beer and soaked Jick's shoes. You know, Jick holds no ill will for that event. Jick probably doesn't even remember that event. The way that evening went, I barely remember it myself. So don't worry about it, traveling retard. Bob2221 says, great news for you, I have a Wavebird, and it works with a Wii. Wii! Well, I'm very happy for you, and the fact that your Wavebird works with the Wii. I should grab some of those, because the thing that stops me from downloading more stuff for the Virtual Console is that anything that's not just like straight up 8-bit Nintendo requires me to be tethered to my console. Because I'll be goddamned if I'm going to buy a classic controller, which is basically a GameCube controller that plugs into the base of the thing. And, you know, I'm just not going to do it. So I'll have to look into that. Maybe I can play some Mario World again. Pay them to play Mario World on yet another platform. Let's all stop for a minute. Have some delicious shisha. A hot foe says, hey, I've been away for over 2 years. What would you suggest I do first as far as new stuff added to the game in the last 2 years? Definitely, if you're in a clan, get into clan dungeons. Those are super fun. And now would be a good time, if your level is high enough, to start messing around with the sea, because stuff Friends, stuff is going to happen in the sea real, real soon. With a quickness, stuff is going to happen in the sea. So prepare thyself. If you go and go through all the sea content right now, by the time you finish, there might be something else for you to do. Stower of Thrones says, did you ever read the Item of the Month speculation threads? No. There's nothing there for us. Those are fun for people to write and read, but there's nothing there for us. If somebody speculates a little too accurately, then we'll want to scrap our idea and try again, and I don't know. We're not super comfortable with having random people suggest items of the month, because then it's like they're giving us an idea that we're going to use to make money, theoretically, and yeah. No good. Yar says, why is the black cat female? That's sexist. Sorry, that's sexist. No, it's just when you think of cats, you tend to think of them as female. Because their motivations are mysterious, and their emotions even more so. Just like women. Let's go from the twatter. Anegaju reminds us that so we set up a Google Voice number where we can have a voicemail box for the show, and we can actually play voicemails and read them back. And we're obviously not going to do that tonight because there's no we tonight. But the number is MadKOLTaint. If you would write the whole thing out, MadKOLTaint. Of course, that's one extra letter. So Anegaju reminds us that it also works as MadKOLVain. Or MadKOL Bio if you're a Sony fan. So you can call that and you can leave a message, and if it's interesting, we'll discuss it on the air next time. Sweet Tooth 89 says, move to Chicago so I can go to KOLCon next year. Yeah, I would love to have a con actually in Minneapolis, because that would be easy for me to get to and fro. Like some big event where I could go and sleep in my own bed at the end of it and not have to travel to get to it. So, we'll be thinking about that. But if you live in Chicago, you could and should go to KOLumbus, which is taking place in about a little over a month, about 6 weeks, November 5th, I think. So, and that is an excellent party. It's almost as cool as our con, and sometimes cooler. So, definitely check that out. Let's see. Looking at the twatter. I don't know about the custom avatar queue, or I would talk about that. Guy Gang Scudo says, any word on the 2010 KOL calendar? My wall's looking kind of bare. It is coming. It is at the printer right now, and should be getting it back in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll have it up on the store so that you can order it and have it shipped to you in time for the new year. There is some great, great, great art in that calendar, so keep an eye out for it. It's coming very soon. It's definitely a work in progress. Xtanzic says, hey guys, concerning Mr. A inflation, I remember you guys used to say that you liked the sweet spot where someone farmed for 30 days and they could get each item of the month. Say 200,000K for 30 days means a ceiling of 6 million. Any thoughts about deflating the economy? Let's just have a look at Mr. Accessory Prices. Looks like the cheapest are at 6.9 mil. So, yeah, I mean, that's high. But at the same time, we don't really want to interfere in the economy, because I think that's one of the things that makes KOL great. I don't know. Don't worry about it. We'll put out a crappy item of the month soon, and then Mr. A prices will go down, and everybody will go, oh my god! Mr. A prices are crashing. The game's going to go out of business. What's going on? So don't worry about it. The market will correct itself. Believe in the invisible hand. Josh Kramer says, how often do you read the forums and want to smash your head against the wall? I just read one on the mall under overcutting debate. I give up. Well, one moment. Well, I used to get a whole lot of upset reading the forums, but then I realized that anything we put out, there's going to be a contingent of people who feel that it's underpowered, a contingent that feel that it's overpowered, a contingent that feel that it's great, a contingent that feels that it's useless, and to me, they all kind of cancel each other out. If we put out something, we're proud of it, we feel like it makes the game better, that's pretty much the best we can do. So I can look at those threads and see which are just your standard, this changed so it sucks, or this is not relevant to my playing style, versus actual useful criticism. So yeah, I'm totally mellow now, but when it comes to Crimbo time, that's when I'm going to get pissed at somebody, because somebody's going to be upset about the quality of my Christmas gift to them, and they're going to make me very, very angry. Let's see. I'll have to see. I need a Google Voice invite, y'all. If anybody's got one, hook me up. Hook a brother up. Mr. Skullhead, number 13. To Uber Noober says, I don't care what anyone says. The sword behind an appropriate preposition is still hilarious. Sort of. What I hate is, you know, I understand, like, people logging in and just kind of throwing out random chat stuff to be funny with the thing equipped, but I frequently find people trying to have serious conversations with the thing equipped, and it just gets awkward. You know, they're talking about the, you know, yeah, one time my shop teacher touched me under the, yeah, and it's no good. I'm really glad that the Wang negates that effect. Goldest says, sea, spelled like sea, like the ocean. Yes, it's coming. We are working on it right now. Wienerbutt says, sometimes I like to type /buy100mmj to buy magical mystery juice. Sometimes I accidentally leave off a letter and type /buy100mm and end up with 100 meat tenderizing hammers. Fix, please. I can't really fix. I can't really fix you not typing the letter J. I could, like, come over to your house or something, and every time you didn't type the letter J, I could, like, smack you in the head. But really, I don't have that kind of time. Let's see. Severus says, to quote Jake from June 25th of this year, next Tuesday we are putting in a rib of the Boner Dagon on Chef Staff and a Staff of Ed Chef Staff. Well, you know. It's going to happen. That's in the pipeline. Another putt says, why does the alphabet giant hold a G and N in the picture when it drops the G and D? Well, it was holding the N, but it decided not to throw it at you when it picked up a D from its pile that's hidden by the clouds. Yeah. That's what happened. Hoggulus links a pic of Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets being watched by the Mystery Science Theater guys. It said, who would win the ensuing battle? I have to throw my allegiance to Mystery Science Theater. No insult intended to the Muppets. But yeah. Sorry, since I have a baby and doing that entertains the baby. When I'm not thinking of anything, when my brain is kind of idling, I tend to do that so that at least the baby will be entertained. Of course, the baby's not in the room with me. But this is what happens to your brain. So remember, use a condom. Mecha says, after the interface and C updates, are there any other content? Are there content? Is there any other content planned for release before Crimbo? I doubt that will make it that far. I want to say Nemesis, but I don't want to get everybody all excited. Work on the Nemesis stuff has kicked into high gear. It is ongoing. So there's a possibility we might see that before the end of the year. You will definitely see the end of the quest structure for the sea. I believe you will be able to, like, win the sea. I'm pretty sure that is on track for before Crimbo. And possibly Nemesis. Please don't go post on the forum, "Scully said Nemesis is coming. When is it coming? Oh my god, when is it coming?" Also, please don't be Gilbert Gottfried, because that's just annoying. Some people are thanking us for the hard work to make con happen. Yeah, props to Zlania for doing that con with a broken arm and all that fun stuff. I think this has been my favorite con so far. That was some fantastic stuff. Still looking at stuff. Shanty says R.E.M. got much better after Michael Stipe realized that he wasn't writing poetry. I think some of my favorite songs Michael Stipe didn't even write the lyrics to. Interestingly enough. I can put my name on a wait list for a Google Voice invite. Suck. And Adam was supposed to hook me up with one, but Adam's got a lot on his plate. Dion says, idea brought on by the Snowcone idea, option to have a random Mr. Accessory item from ages past for a double donation. We could not in good conscience say if you give us $20 you can gamble on, you know, you get a item randomly chosen from every past Mr. Store item. Because everybody who got Mayfly bait would just be after us, man. Yeah, I don't think that we can. That's one of those things, like, we could make a ton of money if we were willing to be dicks, and we're just not. Which is sad, you know, the more times I look at my kitchen with its mismatched cabinets and its, like, chopped up countertops, and the more I think, you know, maybe we should just do one of those super dick things that would make us a lot of money, and I could remodel my kitchen. But then I come to my senses and say, no, it wouldn't be worth it, because every time I looked at that kitchen, I would think of that time we were totally lame. Let's see. Disco Boy says, even after using the Hermit script, the tutorial still kicks me out of the Hermitage without a permit. Bug or feature? That sounds vaguely buggish. We'll put that on the list. Routini Pants says, how about a hanging participle as a familiar? It can alter chat text with inappropriate grammar and misspelled grammar. I don't think we need anything to alter chat text with inappropriate grammar. And, the last grammar-themed familiar that we did, the Comic Chameleon, went over really well. So, yeah, maybe we should give it a shot. Fred Levi suggests KO Real. Okay, possibly. And there was stuff. Vivid. Still looking at questions. Mr. Rar says, can we please get a fortune cookie equivalent for Booze de Farian runs? And, you know, like a message in a gin bottle would be kind of funny. Pixie says, hey man, would you consider adding a Mr. Radio for people who donate $10 to Radio KOL? I believe Radio KOL is doing okay. If they're not, they should ask us, because we will help them. I'd rather not get that far into, like, as much as we love Radio KOL and as much as we're broadcasting on Radio KOL, if, you know, Gramercy Records comes by and says, hey, you guys played Beyonce twice. You owe us $70,000. it would be nice that if they could not take that money directly from us. So, yeah, we are operating on the hinterlands of legality in Radio KOL, so we don't want to officialize them too much. But, yeah, if you love Radio KOL and you donate to them, that is awesome. I hope that you will find some radio outfit parts. DM Melidi says, I was listening to the live broadcast and it sounded great, but I didn't have enough time to finish, so when I listened to the podcast later, it sounded much worse. Can you put a higher quality recording into the podcast? We don't really have control over that. We broadcast in 64K, whatever. I'm not sure whatever they capture that with, and to turn it into the podcast, I'm not sure. But there should be a decent quality recording always available on our website. Although sometimes that... Of the Thursday shows. The Thursday shows, you would definitely get a higher quality recording if you went to our radio website and not the podcast. Oh, man. Hoopity says, oh, God, I'm getting Rickrolled through the floor. Karaoke bar below my apartment. Holy crap, dude. I hope you got a break on the rent. Noanam says, now I want a skill called hair so I can permit. Yes. iClubU says, also, why do you still think I'm a dude? Because iClubU, you showed up at con with a beard. Drawn on with Sharpie, but, you know, beard. No, I've internalized the fact that iClubU is a hot girl. I understand that. It's in my brain. Hot girl with shirt with lights. iClubU. I'm all about that. Gold S says, new C-Zone soon, this week. Also, please make the item of the month not Ascension relevant. That's hard to do. It's hard to make something good and not Ascension relevant. We do our best. The C-Stuff, I think the goal is to get that out before a week from today. So, if it goes the way we want, the next C-Zone will be out a week from today or sooner. It is not the end of the sequest that's coming. That is still being worked up. But it is another zone that you can play around with in the sea and that can help you if you let it. Let's see.
Belch.
Sorry, that happened. Fomar0153 says, is there anything new planned for the Store of Loathing? Maybe another Tiny Plastic series? We're not going to do another Tiny Plastic series until we can find out a way to make them actually Tiny Plastics. Because the Tiny Resins, we love them, but it was such a long and arduous process, and they're so fragile. Like, if we could get it... Yeah. If we could get it in plastic or rubber or something a little more durable, we would totally do it. But we haven't figured out how to do that and do it well and still keep our policy of not enjoying having our stuff made by 10-year-olds in China. So if you have a lead on how to get plastic stuff made, and by a lead I mean not just Googling how I make plastic stuff and sending us links, because we've done that. But if you have like a solid lead on what we can do to get more toys, we are totally on. We are kicking around plush stuff. There's a possibility of some plush toys. We have these awesome die-cut stickers that were in the reg packs this year, and I really, really hope that those will be available in the store. We have the lime in the store, but in the reg packs this year, you got a gravy fairy or a bugbear. Or a lime, or a... Those are all the ones that were on the buttons. Or a Naga. So, here's hoping we'll get those in, because those are awesome. And, of course, the 2010 calendar is coming soon. I suppose eventually we'll take the 2009 calendar out. I don't know. I'd love to see it just keep getting cheaper and cheaper in the store, because the art in it is fantastic. It's definitely worth having just to cut out the things and put them on your wall. Pablo Bonk says, the kingdom has two moons. Which one is bad? You know, bad moon. How bad can a moon go? It's Ronald, man. And you don't want to know how bad he can go. Pablo Bonk says, oh, and I want to thank you for introducing me to limoncello and to curse you for introducing me to limoncello. Yeah, God, limoncello is delicious. Although, you know what else is delicious that I'm drinking right now? Diet Mountain Dew and amaretto. Who knew? This is what happens when I forget to buy beer before the show. Voicemail, great idea, says Jordan, but you are aware that with the allotted amount of numbers, the words could have been Jick Scully or Scully Jick, since Scully is obviously the dominant one. Obviously. S-K-U-L-L-Y-J-I-C-K. Sure, but... Wait, that's 9 digits. Not 10. It's S-K-U-L-L-Y, right, J-I-C-K. I don't know how to count. That is 10 digits. I think he wanted K-O-L in there somewhere, though. And I think it had to be... that it had to start with 623. Not sure. Dotchett says, hey guys, could you up your game a bit art-wise? I've been drawing custom avatars for a while now, and it would be easier if I didn't have to suck as bad. Well, let me tell you something, Dotchett. We've upped our game. Up yours. Vorthak says, what's the deal with Fernsworthy Tower quest chain with the stairs to nowhere in the letter? Any plans to expand on that? That might be Nemesis stuff. It might not. But he says, I tried many versions of the phone number on Twitter, but I can't quite figure out how numbers work. It's 623-565-8236. Oh, if you have Skype, Skype will call it for you automatically. That's kind of annoying, actually. I installed the new version of Skype, and every time there's a phone number listed, it changes it into this little mini app that wants to make the phone call for me. Which, frankly, I find fairly annoying. Okay, let's do a refresh. We got to the bottom of the questions list. Let's see what else we got. Menden says, why do chat effects occur less and less often the more different ones you have on? I like to have a lot on for amusement's sake, but they rarely activate. Oh, well, we'll have a look at that. It would be kind of funny to get... I know you can only have one at a time. Yeah, I don't know. We'll try. SF4Lock says, hey Scully, is there any full name that cannot be improved by changing the middle name to motherfucking? And I was trying, you know, like Martha motherfucking Stewart. And, you know, it works. It still works. LeVar motherfucking Burton. Osama motherfucking Bin Laden. Winnie the motherfucking Pooh. No, there is no full name that cannot be improved by changing the middle name to motherfucking. Or adding motherfucking as the middle name. As you know, I wished to name my son Maximum Motherfucking Knight, or Danger Motherfucking Knight, but I was not allowed. Hey, it's a Jick. Sweet. Let me put on a song and we'll see what's up if he wants to jump in. And we'll do that. Shop Troll, though, says, any recommendations on TV shows to watch this season? Dollhouse. I would say Dollhouse and Glee. Those are the two that I'm watching, and they are fantastic. Let's play a song, and we'll figure out this jictuation, shall we? Let's. Take one vibration. Take another bloody patient. Mama don't care if you shoot those rockets off. Mama don't care if you shoot those rockets off. One vibration.
Practice English. Take another bloody patient.
Yeah.
Mama don't care if you shoot your rockets off or them rockets
off. Them rockets off.
Mama don't care.
You're gonna get me confused.
Them rockets off.
Those rockets. Take one on vibration. Take another bloody patient. Mama don't care if you shoot those rockets off. Mama don't care if you shoot those rockets off. Take one on vibration. Take another bloody patient. Mama don't care if you shoot those rockets off. Mama don't care if you shoot those rockets off.
All right, we're back, and we got a Jick. Let's add him to the conversation, shall we?
Did a monster made out of floating empty beer cans call me?
No, it was a monster made out of empty Mountain Dew cans.
So. Oh, okay.
Just that, I need to clean off my desk. I've got 8 or 9 cans that are in a loose pyramid over here in the corner. I keep knocking them over.
Like a loose certified pyramid made of diamonds?
I was thinking like a loose pyramid scheme where like you sleep with one person and that person sleeps with two other people.
Wow, that'd be great because then it's like you've slept with all those people.
Yeah.
Are we on the radio or are you on song?
No, we're on the radio.
Oh, sweet. Sorry about that. I laid down for what was supposed to be a brief nap, and my body apparently decided that I needed to sleep for an hour and a half with no ability for text messages or phone calls or alarms to wake me up.
Huh. Yeah, I've just since getting back from con, I've found just random drops into unconsciousness. Like when the baby's taking a nap, we're like, oh, that looks good, and just get knocked out for an hour or so.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. I was ready to do the radio show at
That's
like
right.
3.
The only thing that I can't do is anything with the Google Voice number. I don't know what if we were planning on using that for this show or not. But.
Oh yeah, I didn't really think of that. I suppose what I could have done if I had prepared for this is the calls that I wanted to put on. I could have exported them to MP3s and then put them in a directory somewhere that you could get to them.
We should do that next week.
Yeah. Ah, God, do you ever get that thing where you go to sleep for a little while during the day and then when you wake up you're all groggy and dissociated and feel like a zombie and one of your eyes doesn't work?
Yeah, and I also wake up feeling like kind of shaky almost, and that lasts until I have something with sugar in it.
Huh. I don't feel shaky. I hate it when I sleep on one of my eyes, and then my eye doesn't work.
Hmm.
Does that happen to anybody else?
I tend to not sleep on my eyes.
Hmm.
I tend to dot them.
I see. It's difficult for me to sleep on both of them at a time unless I'm on a bed of sparse ping pong balls.
Right.
In which case it's easier to pull it off. But yeah, I can just barely see out of my right eye. It's making it a little hard to read, a little hard to use my binocular vision.
You know, I think it. I'm going to replace my pillow now, though. You've inspired me. I'm going to take a block of wood and mount two half ping pong balls in perfect position so that I can just sleep face down, supported with my entire head supported by my eyes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I feel like that would be good for you.
That's one of those things you should definitely try at home, kids. Speaking of ping pong balls and eyes, I keep wanting to try that experiment that a couple of folks did a while ago that apparently will make you hallucinate like you're on acid.
Huh.
Where you take tune a radio to a blank station and then tape ping pong ball halves over your eyes so that all you can see is like the inside of a ping pong ball and shine a red light onto the ping pong ball halves. And then you just kind of lie down and listen to the static and look at the light. And after a while, I guess your brain filters out the static and filters out the red light and needs to replace it with something. So it's like being in a sensory deprivation chamber almost. And then you apparently, I think the scientific term is you trip balls.
Yeah, you freak the fuck out.
Hell yeah. So that seems like the kind of thing I should try.
You should do it like while you're taking care of the baby.
Yeah.
Like, what if one of your hallucinations will be that the baby is a stack of delicious ham or pancakes, I guess. What do you mean stacks? I know I used to eat a big stack of slabs of ham covered with a delicious maple gravy.
God damn it. You trying to make me throw up?
No. No. I'm just trying to, I'm trying to be conscious, and I'm almost succeeding.
Oh, you're doing fine.
Well, so we could look at questions. Yeah, everybody in the forums is busily giving C.D. Moyer the old virtual hand job.
Mm-hmm.
By which I mean applause. That's what I always say when I talk about clapping for someone. I say that's giving them the old hand job.
Ah. See, I always think of giving them the old hand job as doing the 5-4-3-2-1 countdown from Wayne's World.
Oh yeah.
He says, no. "Excuse me, I believe I requested the hand job."
I see. I don't remember that part. I saw Inglourious Basterds day before yesterday.
What did you think?
I really liked it, actually. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't got there yet.
I felt like it was pretty good. It was somewhat of a return to form for Tarantino, I think.
That's good.
So, it was interesting insofar as, like, the Nazis, though clearly the bad guys in the movie, are by far the coolest characters. Which I guess is kind of the way Tarantino does stuff, right? The assholes are always, the bad guys are always the coolest.
Hmm.
Who are the good guys? Like Nash.
There's Eli Roth was in there.
But, it was good. It was like, the movie was almost entirely conversations, and they were, the level of tension in the conversations made it so it was almost like watching an entire movie of the scene from True Romance with Christopher Walken and Dennis Hopper.
Huh.
Like, it was just like, you know, a bunch of like, sort of smart badasses deciding whether or not they're going to kill each other.
Right.
Yeah, it was good. I very much enjoyed it. It was pretty long, but it whizzed by.
You know, now that I think about it, that's kind of what the problem was with Death Proof, was they had that whole first half that was just people talking in a bar, but there wasn't any of that tension because you didn't really know who they were or what was, you know, where the thing was going, I guess. And the characters weren't terribly interesting, and yeah.
The characters in this were very good. I don't know how it... I did not realize that it was so wildly divergent from actual history.
Oh, that much I know.
Yeah. And I did not... I know that it is there was another movie called Inglourious Basterds, but I don't know anything about it.
Hmm.
So we're getting the first BSing around part of the show out of the way 52 minutes into the show.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to do the looking up stuff on IMDb portion of the show. This doesn't have any movie connections. Maybe it does. Is that all hidden in some... Is that not there anymore?
And they've changed their interface to make it less easy to use. You gotta do that every now and again.
Wow, So this talks about every... This talks about every movie that it references... Huh. Yeah. Some of these are, I'm not sure that I believe that they are actual references. When Brad Pitt says something about fighting in a basement, they say that that's a reference to Fight Club. I feel like that's maybe a little bit like the overzealous reference spotters on the KOL wiki.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, though, how we've gotten so good at our jobs that we can reference stuff that we've never heard of.
I like that people will also... pull a reference that's valid and then assume that because we made a reference to it, we're just completely knowledgeable about it.
Uh-huh.
Like, wow, I didn't know those guys were such big Moody Blues fans. I think we're not. Sorry. There was a movie called Quel Maledetto Treno Blindato, which was released in the US in the 70s as Inglourious Basterds.
I see. My internet foo is failing me. Luckily, my internet bar baz is working to pick up the slack.
Word.
So what questions did you skip or answer incorrectly?
You know, there are... I made my way down the list. So,
I see. We could check Twitter.
I hit up the Twitter, too.
You did?
Yes.
Did you say what the word was on the 2010 KOL calendar? I believe it's at El Printador.
Yeah, I said pretty soon we were going to see it.
I think that is true.
Son of Feastmaster said that Infinity Plus One on asymmetric.net doesn't work anymore.
Huh. I don't know why that is. It like a lot of stuff broke in the transition from the old servers to our new servers.
Yeah.
I believe that Infinity Plus One is up and running on telecult.com, though.
Is that Galactic's site?
Yeah. Although, now I'm not entirely sure. It is the site for Vex magazine, his zine that he's doing, flying in the face of the fact that zines are over, Grandpa.
Now they have to be e-zines. Yeah. E-zines like Sunday morning.
he's slipping them out like quarterly. They're pretty good. He's got somebody who's crazy into the Seattle music scene doing concert reviews and stuff. Local music scene reviews that he doesn't want to deal with because he is getting old. Staying on top of a scene is a lot of work, man. It's a lot of, especially the scene in which men at work are playing. Mm. Or men without hats.
I wonder if the men were working without hats.
I don't know. I wonder if they've been working on the railroad all the livelong day.
You can dance if you want to in the land down under.
Azu says something about found another possible reference after the tiny plastic sword I mentioned last time, though this might be less likely. In the second of the new Monkey Island games, you get a book of 101 fish jokes, one of them being, what do you call a fish missing an eye? That's a common joke.
Yeah, I think that was making the rounds in maybe the tail end of high school.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember when I first heard it. You know, I think Dave Young may have told me that joke. He's the one who told me interrupting cow, which I had never heard. He was a fan of the meta joke. Mr. Mag was talking about the first knock-knock joke his daughter learned was the banana who, banana knock-knock, who's there, banana. And then orange, you glad I didn't say banana?
Yeah.
Right? That was the first knock-knock joke she ever learned, turning the whole thing on its head, right? So she was violating a structure, violating the expectations of a structure with which she was totally unfamiliar.
And I gotta give him credit for that.
Yeah. something came up in a conversation the other day. How I liked the what do you get when you put a baby in the microwave an erection joke.
Wow.
Because it turns the what do you get when X on its head.
Uh-huh.
And answers the question in a way that you didn't expect. Or at least, I feel like getting an erection is different than getting a glass of water.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, I felt like there was a level of sophistication in that joke that people maybe didn't get to really appreciate because of the fact that it was about microwaving a baby and getting a boner.
Yeah, I have a feeling that nobody hearing that joke is testing the meta humor aspect of it as much.
Yeah, which is a shame because it's got some. Like I like the meta humor in the I can't operate on this boy, I'm a woman.
Right.
You know, that's like,
well, why
you
can't,
really get say what?
That and why can't Helen Keller drive?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That one I just feel like it's kind of just a joke.
Well, you do it after a string of Helen Keller jokes, where you've established she's blind, deaf, and dumb. And you know, why can't she drive? Because she's a woman.
See, I think maybe I heard it after, you know, why did Helen Keller fall out of the tree? Because she's dead. Huh. Why can't Helen Keller drive? And then they say, because she's dead? And you say, no, because she's a woman. Huh. But that's probably not the way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah. Somebody was doing it wrong.
That how do you fix a woman's watch? there's no need. There's a clock on the stove.
See, now we're into jokes that are funny to us because they're outrageous, rather than being funny because they're true.
I don't know. Is any joke funny because it's true?
Well, I don't know, like, if you told me a racist joke, I wouldn't think Zach is a racist who's telling me a joke that he thinks I'll find funny because I'm racist.
I see.
I would think Zach finds the shock value of this joke amusing, or the wordplay in this joke is funny enough, it doesn't matter if it's racist, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. But that isn't a racist joke. Women aren't a race.
No, I mean, for example,
No.
Women are a species.
Are they?
Yeah.
Like in that movie?
Yep.
Where Forrest Whitaker.
Just when you think they've got him figured out, the jaw unhinges. And
Did Forrest Whitaker save the day in that movie?
I think Forrest Whitaker got eaten in that movie.
Oh. Huh. Well, he should have gotten his eye fixed. Maybe like he would have managed to save the day.
The monster's right there, guys. I'm looking right at it. Shoot. No, not over there.
Does Forrest Whitaker save the day in anything?
I think in The Last King of Scotland, he totally saved Uganda by being Idi Amin.
What kind of movie would they make for him to save the actual King of Scotland?
I think in Ghost Dog, he failed to save the dog, and that's why it was a ghost.
I see. In Phenomenon, he saved us from having to deal with too much John Travolta screen time.
Mm. I think he kept Adrian Cronauer from getting killed in Good Morning Vietnam.
I don't know who Adrian Cronauer is. I don't think I've seen Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, you should. Well, you should.
Pie-Eater 37 says, I dare Jake to say I'm a little mama's boy on Radio KOL. A dare is not enough to get me to do something.
Yeah. It has Jello to be Bois a double says, dog dare.
Jello Bois says he loves the custom number. He got 513 licks cock, which also spells licks anal, and yours rivals mine on hilarity.
Or could possibly be likes anal. Jello Boy is apparently some kind of homosexual.
L-I-X, I see as licks, not likes.
Well, I thought in one context, and it could be licks, and in the other...
Oh, licks, cocks, and likes, anal. I see. Huh. It's weird that cock and anal are the same on the phone. I think this means something.
I think we're hinting at a deeper truth here.
Yeah, was Alexander Graham Bell trying to tell us something about himself? He came out of the closet from beyond the grave. How many people do you think come out of the closet from beyond the grave? I can imagine there's a lot of suicide notes in which homosexuality is revealed.
Hmm. One would think.
So you're sort of coming out of that great closet in the sky.
Right. I think that we're going to have to agree to call that coming out of the coffin.
Okay. Wow. There's a big part of me that would still like to be asleep right now. Kara says, is there an application to access KOL chat from a BlackBerry? Boy, if there is, we didn't write it.
No. Did you see Fred Levi sent a little mock-up of how he imagined it would look on the iPhone? I could see the, like, turning the combat bar into the way that you interface with the game.
Yeah.
But what I was telling people at KOLCon is that the game is so text-based and wordy that it would be hard to keep all the text and still have it fit on the screen.
I mean, you can make text pretty small on the iPhone and it's still legible.
Yeah.
You know, but you wouldn't want people to have to scroll through page after page of stuff every time they did anything.
No,
I really don't know what the right way to approach that is.
I also said that you were more wed to the idea of saying we're going to do a different game for the iPhone and never doing it than saying we're going to come out with a KOL app for the iPhone and never doing it.
That's probably true.
So if we're going to pick one thing that we're going to claim to, that we're going to do sometime soon.
Goomba Patrol says, sweet! I don't know what that's about. But I have been playing, I've been continuing to play a lot of the Mario and Luigi game for the DS, the new one. It's pretty good, but it has is it suffers from fucking 10-minute unskippable cutscene before difficult boss fight syndrome.
That's a weird thing to have on a handheld game.
It's really obnoxious. It's not quite 10 minutes. I'm exaggerating a little bit. And it wasn't that difficult of a boss fight. It only took me 2 tries to beat it. But I picked up Mass Effect for the PC because I'm like, ah, it's cheap and maybe I'll actually play it on the PC. And I got a lot further into it than I ever did on the console, but there were so many unskippable cutscenes before really difficult fights that, like, I just got fed up with spending so much time watching the same fucking movies of people riding elevators or driving up to a city or whatever, that it just drove me fucking nuts. Like, I don't know who decided that it was okay to have unskippable cutscenes, especially once you've seen them once. Like, I never skip cutscenes the first time. I hate them, but I watch them because I feel like it is important for me to experience what the author is intending me to experience to see these god-awful cutscenes, right? But having to watch it a second time is just like putting my nuts in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, unskippable cutscenes. I feel like that's one of those things that in the future will be punishable by a very painful, very slow death. Yeah. Once we really priority straight as a society.
I mean, do you think that once a game or two had figured out how to add all of the exposition you need into just gameplay, that you wouldn't see a whole lot of that?
Well, I feel like the games that add exposition into gameplay successfully are certainly capable of telling a story. I don't know if they're capable of telling every story.
Huh.
I mean, like, I don't think that you could do, like, a Final Fantasy game with no cutscenes. I feel like at that point it just wouldn't be a Final Fantasy game anymore. I mean, and also I think it's maybe hard to pull that off, right? Like, Half-Life definitely does it. You never leave character at all.
Yeah.
And everything happens. But that really only works because the protagonist doesn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't think that every game should have a protagonist that doesn't speak, right?
True.
Like, I guess it makes it... I don't know. You know, they say there is this idea that having the protagonist not speak makes the game more immersive and makes you believe that you are in the game. But I'm not some dude that never talks. In fact, I'm frequently a dude that, like, really ought to shut up because he's talking so much and is so drunk and hitting so many things with a crowbar or shooting a machine gun randomly into elements of the scenery to see what happens. That's me.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. Tuber had written, I don't care what anyone says, the sword behind inappropriate propositions, is still hilarious. It was never not hilarious.
So I said that
people who don't like the sword are wrong. They're provably wrong. And they dislike something that is awesome.
I said that it's funny enough when people are kind of fucking around online, but I've had people try to carry on, like, serious, weighty conversations with the thing equipped. It's like, dude, if you're going to tell me the story about how your grandma just died and on the way to the funeral you ran over a bunny, you got to take that fucking sword off. Or possibly that a bunny just died and on the way to the funeral you ran over your grandmother. That's even more tragic.
Yeah, that is a tragedy. Or if you were delivering toys to all the children of the world and you ran over your grandmother with your sleigh.
Right.
And then you wrote a song about it. Do you know who the character was on Saturday Night Live who always said, wrote a song about it, like to hear it, here it goes?
No.
I feel like that was pretty funny. But I was a little kid, so I don't know. Maybe I didn't know freaking funny when I was a little kid. Fellow Noel says, why can't we take a ton of white chocolate chips and cook them with an animating spell or something and make mini white chocolate golems as a familiar? Would be a good use for chips. Ooh, if you could make a little miniature white chocolate Ponch and John.
So tiny white chocolate Eric Estrada is an item we want in our game?
Yeah, why not? Look, I made some terrible joke. Oh, yeah. It was something about how Jesus was working as a waiter at Marie Callender's, and he ended up being... And the guys from Chips come into the movie, and Jesus ended up being put to death because he brought out Pontius Pilate.
What do you mean that's a terrible joke?
There was a point at which I was driving somewhere by myself, and I recorded a bunch of those dumb Shaggy Dog story that ends in a terrible pun into the iPhone's voice recorder. I don't know, it's weird that it's possible to be in the kind of mood where you make up a bunch of those in a row.
I think very little is going to... What do you mean that's a terrible joke?
There was a point at which I was driving somewhere by myself, and I recorded a bunch of... dumb Shaggy Dog story that ends in a terrible pun into the iPhone's voice recorder. I don't know, it's weird that it's possible to be in the kind of mood where you make up a bunch of those in a row.
I think very little is going to beat the More Man Tab Barnacle Pliers.
Yeah. That story didn't make a whole lot of sense, though.
I have heard one where it's the Mormon choir, because they don't drink booze. All they have are tab and apples in their dressing room, and so they're the tab and apple choir. But the barnacle pliers are funnier.
I feel like, yeah, it's because the notion of filling the entirety of the Great Salt Lake up with tab.
Right.
And the fact that a type of barnacle would evolve that only... lived in oceans of tab.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, do you think there is enough tab in the world to fill up the Great Salt Lake?
If there isn't, there should be. Wait, tab turned into like some energy drink, didn't it?
Oh, did it?
Like the
original... Back when I told the joke, I think maybe tab didn't exist anymore, or maybe it did. It only existed on the Mexican black market.
I got a lot of guitar tab from my, search there.
Yeah. So when I went and saw Inglourious Basterds, there was a preview for the movie adaptation of Cormac McCarthy's The Road, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure how I feel about it. It could be pretty easy to fuck that up. You'd have to get up pretty early in the morning to not fuck that up.
I think I'm going to proposition my wife that we should get a babysitter and go have sex in the theater during that film, just by sending her Why Don't We Do It in the Road by the Beatles.
Uh-huh. Do you think that'll work?
Sure.
You ever had sex in a movie theater?
No, I haven't. I'd never dated Alanis Morissette, so she never went down on me in a theater.
Oh. But she was perverted like you.
Yeah.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was perverted like Alanis Morissette? Goldest says, see? Yeah, we're working on some stuff.
I said that I spilled the beans that a zone should be coming in the next week or so.
Yeah, that's...
But that it won't advance the quest.
No, but it will. I feel like it will, between the myriad things that are available as rewards and drops in it, it will, I feel like, take some of the it'll take some of the ass stabbiness out of the sea. Tim Uber says, is there a way to view our notifications from the past 72 hours other than the view older link, which is only available when we get a notification? Yeah, that got partially pushed out by accidents. I believe that you can talk C.D. Moyer into pushing out, into removing the dev qualifier from the line of the messages screen. That We went back and forth for a long time on where we should put that. It ended up being a link next to the where the trade offers were in the message system. I remember when there was a time when I would go through and I would see an interface in the game that I hated, and then I would redo it in a way that was real nice, and then I would add features to the game until all of the interfaces became horrible again. Mm-hmm. And then I just stopped redoing them. I was like, you know what? We have an aesthetic, and I'm sticking to it. Deputy Dancer wrote, it was In Living Color with the wrote a song about it guy. Ah, okay. That'll make it easier to find. I finally found the origin of You Don't Know What Words Mean, Do You? On a radio show, because I said something about it, and somebody pointed out that it was an episode of Mr. Show, not an episode of The State, and they sent me a link to the skit. So I've finally seen it after lo these many years. Wienerbutt says, sometimes I like to type /buy 100mmj to buy magical mystery juice. Sometimes. Sometimes I accidentally leave off a letter and type buy 100mm and end up with 100 meat tenderizing hammers. Fix, please? Well.
I said that we would have a hard time fixing his inability to type a J.
Yeah. In fact, the only reason that he was able to communicate this to me is by sending a message to Radio Bugbear, because every time he tries to message me, he sends it to somebody named Ick.
Right.
Is there somebody named Ick in the game? Yeah, there is somebody named Ick in the 1.8 millions. What was the word that somebody was looking up the other day that has two L's in it when the British spell it and one L in it when Americans spell it?
Was it traveler?
Maybe traveled.
Because that's one I always confuse.
Traveled, traveled. Oh. I was like, this definition didn't make any sense, used by travelers, until it said a well-traveled road. I always take the road less traveled, and that, Mr. Skullhead, that has made all the difference.
You'll notice he doesn't say whether it made a good difference or a bad difference.
Yeah. Well, I feel like most differences, it was probably a little bit of both. That's more of a mystery, right? It's like you need to talk kids into making decisions that are terrible for them but important for society.
Yeah.
Like the decision to, you know, say, become a poet.
Is that good for society?
Do we I don't know. I feel like poets? I feel like society needs poets. Perhaps dead poets in society.
It's possible. So if it's you like become Mars a poet needs- to benefit society, somebody has to kill you. Sorry.
Mars needs poets.
But just before you die, you'll see the Congo creeping through the black, cutting through the forest on a golden track.
Huh? Is that if you're going gently into that good night or raging against the dying of the light?
That's if you're raging against the dying of the light. In Dead Poet Society, that's the poem that they're quoting as they, like, they're walking through the woods, and all of them are like, then I got religion, then I had a vision, I could not turn from my revel in derision. Then I saw the Congo creeping through the black. And I thought that was such a cool cadence, so I looked up the poem, and it is the single most racist poem ever written in the history of poetry.
Really?
It's called A Brief History of the Negro Race.
Huh.
By Vachel Lindsay, and it's fantastic as far as the meter goes, but yeah, it's all about, like, part one is their basic savagery. Part two is the hope in their religion. It's like fat black bucks in a wine barrel room, barrel house kings with feet unstable. Like, it wasn't probably, didn't raise any eyebrows when it came out 200 years ago. So.
Right. Who wrote it?
Vachel Lindsay.
Vachel?
Yep.
What kind of name is Vachel? That seems like somebody just took a name and changed one of the letters in it.
I don't know. Ask Jamin.
I guess that's true, yeah. I've met a number of people named Jamin. I challenge you to name a single other person named Vachel, and you're not allowed to use the internet. I actually know two people named Jamin. I only knew one guy named Jaren. That wasn't even changing a letter. That was the son of people named John and Sharon.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, you could have named Oliver Joshica.
Yeah. Jeshua. Jeshua.
Jeshua Sheems. Everyone would he would go through his entire life thinking that everyone who spoke to him was drunk. Jesh, how's it going?
Name my kid Judicial System. Judicial System.
Severus says, to quote Jake from June 25th of this year, next Tuesday we're putting in a rib of the Bonadagan chef staff and a staff of ed chef staff. Not an exact quote, but you get what I'm saying. God, saying that makes me feel like a prick. Well, it should, Severus. I say a lot of things. And, you know, unlike most people, I say things in a format that gets preserved for something approaching eternity.
Right.
No one am growing into the Twitter. So should I sign up Mad KOL Taint for advertising and charities now? So the transcriber will give us all lols. No, I ask that you please don't. Because what that will do is, I mean, it's not about the transcriber giving us lols. It's about honestly using the voicemail as a method for getting, you know, feedback from listeners. Because that works pretty well in the Overthinking It podcast that I've been listening to a lot. Man, that Idle Thumbs podcast is good. Those are some funny dudes. It's basically like, well, I would hope, it's like listening to us, except instead of only knowing about one game, they know about a lot of games.
So, I know about a lot of games.
Real industry people.
Yeah.
We're not real industry people, though.
No.
We don't talk about how we work for Activision.
We're all about the fake industry.
Durgle says, will we ever see Columbus Day content again? I think we basically used our one joke about Columbus Day.
Right.
Oh no, another putz says, why does the alphabet giant hold a G and N in the picture when it drops the G and D? There was a time when I would draw the art for stuff before we would write the monsters. And that's probably what happened there.
I said that he has a pile of letters that are hidden in the clouds.
Oh, yeah?
So he,
did you actually make it this far into the...
Yeah, I kind of skipped my way down. I should have known that anything that I found worth answering, you would probably answer too. Oh, but it's okay, because like, your take on... It's like we're both doing the show together, but we're just offset in time.
Yeah, and it's like the freckles in our eyes are mirror images. And I get, somehow changing the cadence of that, I couldn't remember the words anymore.
Well, the words are when we kiss, they're perfectly aligned, but I don't think that's ever happened. Well,
I wasn't going to keep going there. It was the freckles in our eyes are mirror images is what I was going for, but I couldn't spit it out as I slowed down the first half.
Oh.
Who has freckles in their eyes? Like, what the fuck does that even mean?
I think he meant the, like, dark spots in your iris.
Huh. That's weird. How would you know that about somebody?
I'm thinking it's a sign of the fact that he spent way too much time looking at that girl and then looking at himself in a mirror.
I see. How can you do both of those things at the same time, though?
I don't know.
Maybe he just took pictures of their eyes. It'd be weird if, like, he had been an optometrist and he had spent... He had written an entire song about how similar the photographs of their retinas were. Because he'd spent a lot of time looking at them because they were both hospitalized after a tragic accident where they couldn't see because they had both just gotten pictures of their retinas taken.
Mm.
Blinded by the flash and walked out in front of a train. Because they went to this really cheap optometrist on the railroad tracks. He's gonna pack up the little astigmatism blower in your eye puff thing and move it off the tracks every time there's a train.
Yeah.
The receptionist both answers the phone and yells, train! Every once in a while. How do you suppose it would work if you played, if you had a game of hockey where played it on hand carts, on railroad tracks, and the ball was on a thing that was attached to the railroad tracks too, that was in between the two handcarts.
Hmm.
Goals were fixed behind the handcarts.
And then every time a train came by, you'd have to do the Wayne's World thing?
Pick everything up, yeah. Somebody would say, train, and you'd have to move everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only way the ball could ever get past one of the handcarts, is if you trick the person into letting you put the ball behind their handcart.
Right.
So then you just had to slam into them hard enough to actually knock the ball back into their own goal.
I can't think of a single reason why that hasn't been tried.
Yeah, me neither. Mojo Tech says, item of the month idea. An item that can be equipped to any slot, but has different effects depending on slot. Maybe a doppel sword or something. I feel like the way that we do that is with the foldables. Because those are kind of like things that can go on to multiple slots, right?
Yeah.
Hogula says, who would win in the ensuing rap battle? And it's a picture of Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets. Pictured with the Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
Although they're on the wrong side. Do they ever do that? Do they ever have Mike and the robots on the left?
I want to say they're always on the left.
I feel like everyone's on the right.
Let's look at some still frame. No, you're right. They're closer to the right-hand side than the left.
That's weird that I accidentally just did an image search for MWT3K and found several images.
So you think they would have been better off flipping the Statler and Waldorf image?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe they put Mike and the Robots on there because it looked better against the background on that side. Yeah, I feel like they...
They wanted Mike to be pointing at the Muppets and the Muppets to be looking at them.
Yeah, but is Crow on the left and Servo's on the right? I feel like they just literally mirrored the Mystery Science Theater 3000 silhouettes to put it on that picture.
Yeah.
Because every picture I see, Servo's on the left and Crow's on the right, and Mike is pointing. Yeah, in fact, here's the thing that they used, and Mike is on the right side pointing up to the left.
Yeah. And Mike is stuck in the middle with them.
Yeah.
Princess Poppycock says she does have a freckle in her eye, and it gives her a tiny blind spot.
Huh.
She says it hasn't perfectly aligned with anyone yet.
That'd be weird if you met someone who you couldn't look into their eyes because you had matching blind spots.
Hmm.
Or, you know, if you met someone and just fell so in love with them that you couldn't see any of their flaws. That's kind of like that happening.
But then you would say, hey, I have a freckle in my eye, but you don't. And they'd say, no, I have a freckle in my eye, but you don't.
Isn't that what the song When a Man Loves a Woman is about?
Yep. There's that lyric.
If she is bad, he don't see it, or something.
Yeah, if she has a freckle in her eye, she don't see it.
You can't see it. Yeah. Super Buster says, I'm not sure if it's come up with about how the Aretha Franklinstein follows the celebrity monster thing. Yeah, I'm glad that this is something that more than just me and Nightmare are thinking about now. We started talking about another version of our game where people whose names, whose initials were SS, survived the apocalypse, and we couldn't think of nearly as many. There was Soupy Sales.
No. Uh-huh.
And,
Sarah Silverman?
Oh, Sarah Silverman, we didn't think of that. We thought about, is Sam Shepard the name of the guy from Quantum Leap?
Sam Shepard is,
Or is Sam Shepard a real guy?
Sam Shepard is the dude I always confuse with, Sam Elliott.
Huh.
Yeah, he's an actor. But he's not the actor who always has a mustache and is in every movie as the same character.
Oh, no. Quantum Leap is Sam Beckett.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, gosh. Yeah, we weren't paying a lot of attention there. Luckily, it's not actually important. I can't...
Thank God for that.
I'm nap-tarded. I've got all these tabs open, and it's like my brain isn't making the connections between what it says on the tab and what is on the tab.
Hmm.
I keep saying, put it on my tab.
Put it on my bell.
Lord Derby says, I think the voicemail line is a bold move experimenting in the new technology of the telephone. Let's see if this whole phone thing pans out.
So what makes it possible for us to use it on the show is the Google Voice stuff.
Yeah, which is a new technology.
Yeah.
El Tracero says, how are that Ribbit the Boner Dagon and level 11 Chef's Daves coming along? That is the worst sentence ever, El Tracero. Psycho Person says, funniest thing you've seen lately? Boy, that's... I shouldn't have read that. I knew I was going to be on the spot. I don't see a lot of funny things.
Yeah.
The freckles in my eyes are the exact shape of almost everything funny.
Right. I was probably, like, it's probably going to be something that Oliver did, and I don't want to bore everybody with that.
Yeah, you're like, hyper aware of not wanting to be the guy that talks about his kid.
Yeah, which just means I'm the guy who's always talking about not talking about his kid.
Yeah, it's like if you didn't own a TV, and you wanted everybody to know it. Oh, yeah, I don't tell stories about my kid. The other day, my kid was doing something, and I was just there not telling a story about it. Because I'm not going to be that guy.
Right.
It's weird. I almost feel like you take it a little too far. You're hyper-correcting a bit.
I'll try and even my keel.
I mean, there's got to be some funny stories about your kid. I've also become a little desensitized to the sort of, like, saccharine, sappy kid anecdotes from reading James Kochalka's diary comic for so long.
Huh.
Because a lot of the comics are just like, you know, some, you know, kind of sappy story about his kid. That is, I don't know why. Hot Stuff suggests that maybe it's just because I've been reading it so long, I've become invested in it, and it's going to seem better to me. But I just kind of feel like that comic is kind of important because of the way in which it describes just what day-to-day life is like for a certain kind of person in a certain environment at a certain time in history.
Uh-huh.
In a way that I've not encountered anything else that really does. Right, like just him writing a comic about a dream. You're like, I've totally had dreams like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
And like, I don't know, because it's like, I don't even feel like it's all that good in and of itself, and a specific... I've never, like, linked somebody to one of them. You know, like, I feel like it is something that only exists as a corpus.
I see.
Or rather, only has any value as a corpus. I don't know how I... It also seems like the kind of thing that I would hate. I don't know how I got into it in the first place. I feel like there was one thing that he wrote that, like, reminded me of myself. And then I'm like, huh, I should read the rest of these.
It seems like something that I would read the archive of and then never go back to it. So yeah. That's what I tend to do.
I read the archive and I've continued to go back to it at least once a week, and then I've bought all the books so that I have a hard copy. Yeah, it's like...
I still am finding it more and more interesting that it's still kind of a hallmark of success for a website to get their own book. That, like, XKCD is somehow more legitimate because it has a book out now. Like, the goal of Stuff White People Like was to get the dude a book deal. And
yeah, it's weird. I mean, I feel like Maddox's website is arguably one of the more successful websites in terms of just entering the public awareness. Mm. And his book, though it was a New York Times bestseller, like, wasn't really that big of a deal for him.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, he did not make very much money from it, and it, like, you know, it's like, okay, I got a book published. That, you know, so I don't know. Yeah, it does seem weird, especially in the, like, in what I feel is this rapidly encroaching era of trivially inexpensive on-demand self-publishing of reasonably good quality books. I feel like even the idea of having a book is going to change to the point where it is no longer something that anyone cares about.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, oh, that and $15 will get you a book.
I think it's still like having somebody else publish your book.
Yeah.
It's probably the hallmark there.
Yeah. I mean, getting someone to pay you to write it, I feel like is something.
Yeah.
It's weird how much, you know... in a way, I feel like the internet providing an audience for people is, maybe it is going to make a lot of better writers come out over the next 10 or 20 years because of the whole, like, I don't know, you should read, I almost said the book by Malcolm McDowell, but it was not a book by Malcolm McDowell, it was a book by Malcolm Gladwell called Outliers, which is, his thesis is basically like, the people who are really remarkable in a field are people who just practiced something for 10,000 hours.
Right.
Like, and I wonder, like, you know, I feel like we are probably, you and I are probably significantly better writers than we would have been had the internet not existed. Right? It's not that we wouldn't have eventually gotten as accustomed to just writing stuff, you know, quickly and of a fairly even quality if we hadn't had an audience. Right? If there hadn't been anybody reading it. Maybe we would have gotten back into the habit of emailing each other and trying to be all funny, and we would have gotten some practice writing, but not nearly as much as we have because of, like, this. You know, maybe you'll write a book someday. I feel like you'll write a book someday.
Yeah, that could happen. I think that, there may be more people honing their craft, but I also think that being a good writer isn't necessarily a prerequisite for gaining an online following.
That's true.
So we could end up with a lot more people writing, but the quality of the writing is kind of secondary now. Like, I think this may just be old man grumbling, but like, the Twilight series is fucking terribly written.
Yeah.
Dan Patterson's Maximum Ride series, fucking terribly written. But people don't know what good or bad writing means, and so it's just, if the subject matter and the plot is interesting, it doesn't matter that it reads like amateur fanfic.
Like, I really... Stephen King is just a good writer, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like the people who are reading Twilight now, you know, when we were in high school, would have been reading The Stand. And it makes me sad that they don't know the difference.
Yeah.
Between a guy who can actually, you know, rub two sentences together. And yeah, you were right when you told me, just pick up a copy of Twilight and open it. You will not be able to read a single paragraph without laughing at how badly written it is.
Yep.
And like, the first sentence I read was just so awkwardly constructed, and it was terrible.
Well, the nice thing is,
you
now
you read that review of just the first sentence of the Da Vinci Code.
No, I saw a link to, like, the 10 weirdest sentences in Dan Brown's oeuvre. And that was, I think, included that sentence. Yeah. There was one, like, a character hears a voice right at his ear, and he looks up to see an albino with big blonde hair standing in silhouette 15 feet away. So it's like the albino guy silhouetted right next to your ear 15 feet away in two consecutive sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dan Brown's another one that's... I can't get past that. The funny thing is that with Twilight, I didn't really know how the plotting of it went. I just knew that the writing wasn't anything I could stand to read an entire book of. But so we watched the whole movie with the riff tracks on, and the plotting isn't any good either. Like, at least I can safely say now, like, sudden, like, these two people meet, and they kind of twitch and insult each other, and then in the next scene, they're like, I love you, I would die for you.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they start to talk, like, it looks like they're going to be intimately talking like people would talk if they were in love, the sound goes out, and it's just the soundtrack playing loudly over them just kind of moving their lips. And it is like, if Stephanie Meyer's not married, she's never had sex and she's never been in love, so she doesn't know how those things work. It would be like me writing a book about somebody building a car.
Right, and or just, me writing a book about a dude with a tiny penis.
Yeah.
So that psycho person is the funniest thing I've seen lately. Deathless Assassin writes, add drunken stupor messages for when you use the hot tub while in a drunken stupor. Surely you've heard or experienced, wink wink, some awesome drunken hot tub stories that would do the trick, experiencing being similar to experiencing but way more awesome. Oh, I see, because he misspelled. He said experiencing. It's weird how sometimes if somebody sends like what I think is a dumb question and they misspell a word, I will read it misspelled to make fun of them.
Right.
But if it seems like somebody's, you know, it was a genuine accident, then I'll just kind of correct it. En media res is not a good use of that phrase.
No, on the fly.
Just in time correction. On the fly, yeah. I will correct it by the seat of my pants, which is where I keep my answer key.
That's where I keep the skin from my teeth.
Right. Oh, man. The pretentious artist's wife jokingly asked me if I would create a stack of papers for her, and I said, fuck yes. I'm like, do you have a stamp that is an F? Because I will grade them really quickly. I don't know if this counts as like unethical or not, because I don't think so. When we were doing the LARP, right? We were in this high school, and somebody had the teacher had left a stack of papers on her desk that had been turned in, and it was just like a long answer question where it was like, you know, a paragraph of question and then a page with blank lines for you to write out the answer, right?
Yeah.
And it was a science class, and it was the chapter on natural selection. And the paragraph was a story of this girl, Katie, who was explaining to somebody how giraffes got their long necks. And her explanation... Did I tell this on the radio before?
No. Well, not on a Monday show. Yeah.
So the explanation was, well, giraffes stretched up to reach food on higher and higher trees, and so their necks stretched out over the course of their lifetimes. And then when they had kids, because their necks were long, the kids had longer necks. Is Katie's explanation correct? And like a bunch of kids, as I flipped through this stack of paper, this was the thing that I thought might have been unethical. Do you think that's unethical? Is that I felt like maybe that was an invasion of privacy. But I felt like I was invading the teacher's privacy, not the kids.
See, I don't see an expectation of privacy when you turn in a paper in a class.
You don't?
No.
Like, do you feel like it would be okay for somebody to, like, post your paper on the internet and make fun of you?
Yeah. But then...
I kind of don't feel like a person doing that is doing anything wrong. I don't know why, though. Like, maybe it's because I'm a terrible liberal. Anyway, there were a bunch of kids that were just like, yes, I think Katie's explanation makes a lot of sense. Wow. Which, A, is fucking stupid in terms of actually understanding the material, and why the fuck would you put a question like that on a test? Hmm. They gave you an entire page full of blank lines to say yes.
Did it not say, and why?
Well, it did. Do you agree with Katie's theory? And if not, why not?
Right.
Right. It's like, yes, I agree with Katie's theory. It makes a lot of sense. And I think a lot was a single word.
Of course. That was what they told us about evolution in like youth group and stuff. They would say, evolutionists believe, then they would tell the giraffe anecdote and say, but that doesn't make any sense because if somebody loses an arm, they don't have kids with a missing arm. So, you know, it doesn't change your DNA to stretch your neck out. So, of course, evolutionists are full of crap.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a, like, learning about evolution meant learning about straw man arguments. Like,
are you telling me that religious authorities are misleading people?
Well, I'm just saying that's why that would show up on a test.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if the kids who agreed with that are churchy. They're just putting up with the fact that they're being taught evolution at their stupid hippie art school when they know the truth. Iluro Dragon says, thanks for an awesome con. I still think it should have been KOL con Emacs. Back me up, hot stuff. That's pretty funny. I didn't even think of that.
Help me out.
Okay, so there's a divide among Unix users in those who use the editor VI and who use the editor Emacs.
Oh, I see.
And hot stuff is an Emacs person. Well, I feel like Mac fags tend to be Emacs people.
Do they just flock to anything with the word Mac in it?
Maybe, yeah. Hmm. Emacs is just as powerful as VI, but it's a lot easier to use. Using VI makes your balls bigger. Getting good at VI makes your balls so big that you have to special order pants on the internet. What would pants like that look like? Just have a big pouch in the front?
Probably.
That would suck. You know what would really suck is if you had giant balls like that guy in that picture, that guy that's like sitting on his balls. But sitting on your balls, it seems like that would really hurt. That guy didn't look like he was too distressed by it. Unless maybe that guy just lived his entire life in a constant state of being kicked in the balls.
Yeah.
By himself. Hoopity says, wait, whoa, did Jake just make a sports reference? Must be weird booze. So it was funny. I went to this Minibuses show the other night, and Aaron was telling me that he was like, dude, I've been paying attention to golf for whatever reason, and you're doing really well, because there's a golfer named Zach Johnson. So we decided that he was going to change his name to Tiger Woods, and we were just going to go places and drink together, so that people were like, dude, Tiger Woods and Zach Johnson are drinking together at the other end of the bar. And it would be true.
Yeah.
I've heard that the Zach Johnson golfer is kind of a dick.
I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watertail says, Jake, I think you were being a little unfair to iTunes. It sometimes does some stuff for me. That stuff is wiping everything off my iPod and deleting my entire fucking library. Yep.
That's never happened to me with iTunes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All I've ever had with iTunes is pretty much good experiences. I was kind of pissed that they deleted my playlists when I switched computers. Because I thought that those would transfer over to the iPod, or from the iPod to iTunes, rather than just getting rid of them. But other than that, it's been...
The default behavior if you have an on-the-go playlist is for it to...
No, I had a couple made that were...
No, I'm just saying, I know, I'm complaining about the on-the-go playlist behavior, because that was the only playlist I ever used when I actually had my iPod. Hmm. It was frustrating even when I had the iPod, and it's even worse with the fucking iPhone. I have no fucking idea when I go to sync my phone if it's going to take 10 seconds or if it's going to take 6 hours.
Hmm.
No indication whatsoever of whether they, yeah. Like, maybe it depends on how long it's been since the last time you synced your phone. But I don't know, man. That bullshit, though. I remember one time very early on when you and I had first gotten those, like, not first, but like second or third generation iPods,
mm-hmm.
when you plugged your iPod into my computer and without even asking you, it erased the entire contents of your iPod and replaced it with a copy of the contents of my iPod.
That was a setting that you have to set, though.
Yeah, okay.
And iTunes has never done anything to me except store my music in an easy to access, easy to customize way. I'd have no complaints about iTunes whatsoever.
Okay. I mean, maybe if you actually use iTunes as a media library, then it makes more sense trying to use it to sync an iPod.
Which I totally do. Like, the first time that I set it up and said, do you want iTunes to organize your library? And I said yes, and it put everything in to folders depending on how they were tagged. That kind of sucked because it created an entire duplicate of my library.
Mm-hmm.
So I just deleted the stuff that wasn't organized, and now...
But did it call it a library?
It did. But now whenever I add stuff to iTunes, it just puts it directly in that folder structure, so I don't have to do that twice. And, you know, iTunes is good.
I feel like someday I'm going to be glad that I didn't use iTunes. Someday when iTunes is no longer the cock of the walk, when it no longer rules the roost,
mm-hmm.
it's no longer King Bird of Turd Mountain.
Right.
I was trying to think of another bird-based being in charge. What, can you think of one?
The top dog bird? You know, dog bird.
Mm-hmm. It's like a dogfish, only it flies.
Yeah. It's like a bird dog, only the opposite.
Oh, right. So it's a bird that you take with you when you're hunting dogs?
Yep.
Boy, no. That's kind of a terrifying concept. The guy who hunts dogs and he uses like a giant eagle as a weapon.
You say terrifying, I say awesome.
The, like, Oh man, somebody needs to make a sequel to Duck Hunt.
Maybe somebody in Germany, so it can just be Duck Hunt.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that means anything in German. It is weird seeing a movie written by, speaking of Inglourious Bastards, which I was earlier.
Yeah.
It is weird seeing a movie that is a bunch of Quentin Tarantino dialogue, but not in English.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot. I feel like it is just as well written as most of Quentin Tarantino's dialogue, but it is not nearly as much just various characters like channeling Quentin Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah,
I will have to see that.
Shanty said, REM got much better after Michael Stipe realized that he wasn't writing poetry. Man, I had no idea. It made me mad to hear that Shiny Happy Monsters thing during the trivia at con.
Why?
I don't know.
That thing was funny.
Because REM's a real band.
And tons of real bands were on The Muppet Show and Sesame Street and did versions of their songs that were...
That were about monsters?
With the lyrics changed to be about the alphabet or monsters or whatever.
I feel like on The Muppet Show they did not do that.
On Sesame Street.
Yeah.
But Shiny, they may be a real band, but Shiny Happy People is not a real fucking song. Let's be real about that.
That's a good song. Oh, it's a real song. It's a good song. Oh man, Kate Pearson totally has a cooler mustache than I do now that I got rid of my mustache.
Maybe it's just my hatred of all things B-52.
Really? I don't understand why you hate the B-52s so much.
It's only because they're fucking annoying.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
That's the only reason?
It's only because they're fucking annoying! That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yar says, can you make the limit on gift packages per person? That'll solve the spamming problem, but if you're holding a massive AR, you can still send prizes to tons of people. I just don't hold a massive AR, or if you do, don't use gift packages to send the prizes. The problem is not spamming a single person. It is creating a huge number of rows in that table, which slows the whole gift package system down for everyone else. So, no, I cannot make the limit on gift packages per person. Josh the Saucer Man says, have you guys seen Last of the Summer Wine?
I have not. I don't know what that means.
I don't either. Dion says, idea brought on by the snow cone idea. Option to have a random Mr. Accessory from ages past for a double donation. People have... That is a weird thing.
My thought about that was, if I understand what they're asking, it's you give us $20, we randomly pick... An old Mr. Store item and give it to you.
I mean, it's a terrible idea, and we're not going to do it. But it's interesting. It's interesting to think about what that would do, right?
Yeah.
Like, would enough people do it that it would totally fuck up the market for old Mr. Store items?
What I thought was it would... It's kind of inviting people to gamble.
Yeah.
To say, like, keep donating $20 until you get your hand turkey. Kind of thing. With the number of items that we have, I don't think that it would be that easy to get a specific one so that it would screw up the economy for old items. But it just struck me as the kind of money-grubbing thing that we wouldn't do.
Bobula says, regarding your KOL iPhone talk, the Japanese version of Final Fantasy VIII had an idea you might be able to use. It had an accessory that let you play a very simple game, black and white, 32 by 32 pixels, involving a chocobo on a small Game Boy-like device. Leveling up the chocobo increased the power of the chocobo summon in the main Final Fantasy VIII game. You could do something similar with the iPhone, some sort of simple KOL-type humor flash game or flash-type gameplay game that increases the power of an equivalent in-game KOL item. Just a thought. Yeah, I had a reasonably well-developed idea for an iPhone game that would sort of tie... Like, basically imagine that we did a Neopets game for the iPhone, right? Where you just had a game where you were collecting a bunch of familiars. And there were a bunch of familiars that you got just by playing the iPhone game, right? like you collected them, but you could also get a bunch by associating your iPhone account with a KOL account and importing your terrarium. Huh. So like, if that game was at all popular, it would get people to play KOL for no other reason than to collect those familiars in KOL so that they would have them in the new game. Hmm. Right? Like, I feel like that is a not particularly sleazy but fairly effective way of promoting KOL. Right. Doing something like that. But maybe it's sleazy. I don't know.
I've also been told by iPhone user friends that an app costing a dollar is basically an app being free.
Yeah.
So if we made it cost a dollar, we could then make some dollars as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much of that dollar you get. Yeah. And I don't really know if that's... I mean, I see what they're saying, right? Like, I will buy almost anything. I'll buy that for a dollar.
Right, yeah.
It's just because I'm a fan of RoboCop that I will buy nearly anything for a dollar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think about it a lot more if a game is, like, $3, or especially if it's, like, $5. I'm not like Riff. I won't buy, like, a dozen games in a day that are a dollar.
Right.
Right. I will still, even if a game is a dollar, I will still, even if a game is free, I will look it up to see if it's worth downloading. Right? Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, no, I still feel like the free stuff probably has an order of magnitude more downloads than stuff that's a dollar.
Yeah. I don't know. I would like to see us do something for the iPhone that would also make money in addition to driving traffic to the game.
Yeah. I just feel like in terms of effort turning into money, KOL is still our velvet gold mine. Hmm. Right? Like, it just the equivalent amount of effort, the amount of effort that it would take to make a new game will definitely lead us to make more money in KOL.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, and then, so you get stuck in this, like, I at least get stuck in this, like, I find it very difficult to dedicate, to feel okay dedicating time to other projects. And what I need to do is I need to enforce stricter structures on my KOL work so that I have, you know, say, days where my job is to work on other projects.
Yeah.
And I just have a hard time doing that.
I think that the benefit of a different project is that it's something that people who think that they've seen all of KOL could get into.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's something that a blogger who wouldn't want to reference KOL because we're not the hot new thing anymore could reference.
Yeah. Are you suggesting that KOL is old and busted?
No. We're elder statesmen.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Elder statesmen, huh? I prefer to think of us as, like, Mark Twain. We're playthings of the wealthy aristocracy.
Nah, I can get behind that.
Casey Wiederman says, "Hey, Jake, will we ever see anything like the multiplayer aspect of real KOL in the real KOL? Going through hardcore as partners or a group would be really nifty." Boy, if I thought there was a way to do that... Like, if I felt like there was a way to do... I mean, not going through a run, really, but if I felt like there was a way to do, like, ad hoc group content, then I would be super stoked about that, because I feel like that would be a really powerful force for retention and interesting content.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. Rotini Pants says, "How about a hanging participle as a familiar? Can alter chat text with inappropriate grammar."
I said the last grammar-based familiar that we came up with was a big hit, so...
Which one was that?
The Comic Chameleon.
Oh.
Also suggested that chat didn't need any help having more inappropriate grammar.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Noah M says, "So I totally legally downloaded Scribblenauts and played it. That shit is cool, dude. How long did you play it? I bet you'd get sick of it if you played it longer." Bigglesworth says, "When your HP is low, it changes color to red. Would it be possible for Temulency to turn red when the warning messages start?" That's not a bad idea, actually. Although I'm surprised that hasn't come up before. Are we ready to not be on the radio anymore?
Well, we're real close.
I need to go back to sleep.
Apparently so. Okay,
what time is it actually?
Oh, we got like 6 minutes.
Oh, do we?
Yes.
Well, let's read a couple more. No, I changed my mind. I am going to sleep.
Right now, thud.
Right. Steel Clubber for Life says, "I'd like to find an armchair and be able to break it in two, and each half would make a weapon, and then I could be well-armed." Get it? Yeah. I'm not failing to laugh because I don't get it.
That's like the armed gun that everyone insisted was hilarious.
The misanthropist says, I swear to God, Jick can read minds. While watching that Family Guy episode, I did look up what the Noid was. I'm 17. Get out of my head. I understand our players, man.
We know our listeners.
Let's see. GigaShadow555 says, if you guys keep referencing Once in a Lifetime on the radio show, I'm going to have to marry you guys. It's a good song.
Which song?
Once in a Lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
I think you had said something about finding yourself behind the wheel of a strange automobile. Something like that.
Yeah, whenever I talk about finding myself doing anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like going out into the woods and finding yourself.
Mm-hmm. Menden says, for the next Columbus Day, make it Columbus Day and have every character in the kingdom be trapped in Ohio, where the only places to adventure are the hotel and the strip mall and the other strip mall and the other strip mall. Is it Columbus?
And the strip club.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and the strip club and the sushi bar. But Columbus is basically Mesa, but colder. It's
what?
Like strip mall, strip mall, strip mall, strip mall, strip mall. Mushroom, mushroom.
There are some things that aren't strip malls here.
Yeah, there are giant...
Oh, wait, sorry, I was wrong. Those are strip malls, too.
Yeah, well, there are giant shopping installations, but those are just a bunch of strip malls all chained together.
You know, L.A. is also all strip malls, to be fair. Like,
yeah.
It's not... Like,
and L.A.
I feel
sucks,
like,
too.
I feel like modern suburbs are just all strip malls.
Yeah.
That's just... That's
oh, there
just,
is, yeah.
That's how we do commercial real estate now.
There is one of those giant, like... cities of stores, like the Riverview and the Tempe Town, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of those, like, 15 miles from the house. There's not one of them every 3 miles, though. That's what got me in Mesa. When they opened the one at the 202 and Alma School, and then opened one at 101 and 202.
Yeah, that was, like sort of two cities being dicks to each other. Or like, I feel like maybe something happened to a big parcel of real estate up there. And so Mesa decided to make a real shitty shopping center, and Tempe decided to make a real flashy shopping center to prove everybody that Tempe rules and Mesa drools.
I see.
Although I think I end up going to Tempe Marketplace, or I end up going to Mesa Riverview more than I go to Tempe Marketplace, because there's a cigar shop in there that I like, and it's a lot easier to get to the movie theater in Riverview, and Riverview's closer. And plus, I'm loyal to Mesa. I wish that it was named Xenos. It was supposed to be.
Really?
Yeah.
That might make me feel differently about Mesa.
The original Mormon founders wanted to name it Xenos. X-E-N-O-S. And I don't know why they didn't.
Probably because the Scientologist said, do you mean Xenu? And they said, no, we mean Xenos. And they said, do you mean Xenu? And they just kept saying that until they were like, yeah, we do mean Xenu. No, wait, that doesn't make any sense. We'll just call it Mesa.
Yeah. Okay, now are we ready to go?
Yeah, no, I think we can go. We're going to go out on another track from Brandon Patton's album, because goddamn,
okay.
That thing is good.
Brandon Patterson, you mean?
Yeah, Branderson Patterson.
Branderson Patterson. Samson.
Dick Van Patten. Dick Van Patten's album, Underhill Downs. Here's Vampire with a briefcase.